good to see some new kids' faces today. Amen. That's a good sign. Amen. Luke chapter number 5 this morning. Back in Luke chapter number 5. We were there last week. We're going to continue there as the Lord leads. Luke chapter number 5. I appreciate Brother Walter this morning in Sunday school. It's good to increase our faith. Amen. I think if, you know, your faith's not being increased, your spiritual life probably isn't being increased either. That's just a hard fact. As a Christian, you got to learn sometimes that everything we see and do is not everything that God sees and can do. Amen? We must increase our faith. So I appreciate that challenge, brother. Luke chapter number 5 this morning, verse number 8 through 11. Let's read. The Bible says, "When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Depart from me, for I am a sinful man. O Lord,'" I wonder if there's ever been a day where you fell down at the feet of Jesus and said, "I am a sinful man." Man, it would be good if we realized that we are sinners. Amen. "For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, 'Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch'" what, church? Wow. "And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, now, Lord, I ask you to bless the opening of your word this morning, the reading, the preaching of your word, the teaching of your word. Lord, whatever it may be, I just ask that your word will not return void. You said it would not. And our prayer this morning is that it won't return void in our lives, but Lord, we'll take what you've given us, and Lord, we'll take it and we'll start living by it and understanding, Lord, that you are indeed in control of every single thing. I'm thankful you know my name this morning, as they just sang about. Lord, I ask you now to cleanse me of sin, empty me of self. Fill me with your spirit this morning. Bind the devil off this place, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We just want to hear from heaven this morning. We don't want any interference. Lord, I ask you to bless the junior church. Bless Miss Crystal, Lord, as she, Lord, teaches those young people, Lord, about the life of Jesus leading up to his resurrection, his death and his resurrection, all the way into Easter. Lord, I ask you to bless that study over there with them. Thank you so much for the little kids that are here, the young people. God, it wouldn't be good if we didn't have some young people in this church. I'm so thankful for what you've done at New Hope Independent Baptist Church right here in Red Level, Alabama, and what you're going to continue to do, and Lord, what you want to do that we have not seen yet. But Lord, I ask you to give us the faith to step out and do whatever it takes to see your will be done. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. This story here is leading up to what we preached last week, all the way back in verse number 1. If you look, the Bible says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, 'Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught.'" Remember last week, we said if we as Christians are going to increase our faith, we're going to learn how that we've got to launch out sometimes into the deep waters and stop hanging out by the shore, by our safety net. See, what we see as safety nets is not what God sees as a safety net. See, to them, they had fished all night. They had caught nothing. All they saw now was their laborious work, that they had cleaned their nets. Their boats were clean. And on comes Jesus and says, "Look, launch out into the deep, but don't just launch out. Cast out the nets. Drop them into the deep water." See, listen, we sometimes have got to understand that we're going to work and we're going to work and we're going to work in our own power, and nothing is ever going to happen. But when Jesus gets on, when Jesus comes on and says, "Simon, can you just thrust out your boat a little bit, but hey, let me get on there first." Man, when Jesus comes by our life and he says, "Brother Drew, listen, you just need to let me in and cast that boat back out in the same place you just came from. I know you went fishing, but you went fishing with the wrong bait. They don't want your bait. What they want is the bait I got to offer." And listen, when we say, "Okay, God, I'm going to cast out into the deep. I know I've cleaned up. I've done all this work. I saw nothing, but look, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Listen, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things what? Not seen. Listen, God, I'm going to trust that with you on my boat, I'm going to cast out into the deep. I'm going to drop my nets, and your word's not going to return void, and you're going to bring forth much fruit. I'm going to trust you. We talked about that last week. But I like this right here, verse 5. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we've toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Man, it would be good if we would do that, wouldn't it? At thy word, I'm just going to let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their what, church? Wow. And they beckoned under their partners, which were in the other ship, and they should come and help. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. Folks, listen. I believe with all my heart that God is doing a miraculous thing right here in New Hope Independent Baptist Church. And I believe we've seen a lot of stuff over the last 6 months, but I don't believe that we'd scratch the surface of what God is able to do. I think God has given us fruit. I think He's rewarded the prayers of righteous men and women. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I think He's rewarded the generosity in giving that this church has. I'm very thankful that, listen, every church is not generous in giving. Every church don't give like you give. Every church don't support missionaries like you do. Every church would not welcome all these young people in like you do. Listen, that's God's business. And when you're about God's business, He's about blessing you. But can I say, listen, I honest to God don't believe that we've even scratched the surface yet of what God wants to do with our church. I think that it's time for us to say, okay, God, you've done this much. But here's the question. How many of us are content with what's going on now? I don't know about you, but I want to see more and more and more souls saved. I want to see more and more youth rallies. I want to see more and more young people. I want to see that fellowship hall full of young people on Sunday morning. That's what I would like to see. I would like to see church vans driving in with kids that aren't able to get here because they don't have parents that will bring them to church. That's what I want to see. That's my vision, is to see a lost and dying world come to know Jesus Christ through our local New Testament church. That is what I would like to see. But look at this morning, verse number 8. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Number 1, in verse number 8, we see Simon Peter's amazement of the Savior. We must realize that God has always been and always will be able to meet all of our needs. Amen. Philippians 4:19 says, But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You say, well, I can do it on my own. Well, you know, Simon thought that night when he went out fishing and came back empty-handed. Amen. But Jesus said, look, let's just go right back out there where you just came from. A little bit deeper. But this time I'm going to go with you, Simon. Look, folks. When you try to do things in and of yourself and of your own power, listen, we're nothing in and of ourselves. We've got to come to that realization. I'm nothing. I would never want to preach a message without the power of Jesus Christ on me. It would be in vain. I would never want to sing a song without the power of God on me. Folks, listen, if we had that desire, listen, I wouldn't want to be a dad without the power of God on me. I wouldn't want to be a husband. And I'm not saying, you know, it's up to us to access that power. Amen. It is given unto us. It's up to us to be obedient to God and to utilize what has been so freely given to us. But here's what I know. Every time, in everything I want to do, I want to learn to give thanks. And listen, just like Peter, he stood in awe and he was like, Lord, I'm just a sinful man. Why in the world would you do that for me? You know what that's called, folks? Humility. He didn't take and say, well, Jesus got on my boat and I can't tell you all the fish I caught. No. You didn't see Peter bragging about that. He said, Lord, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. That's humility, folks. He realized that Jesus had just done something for a nobody. I wonder if you've ever stopped and thought about that. I'm just a nobody that Jesus decided to save. I'm just a nobody that Jesus decided to save out of a muck and miry lifestyle. I'm just a nobody who was about to lose their family that Jesus Christ one day decided to come by in His grace and glory and say, look, if you'll just let me on your boat, I can fix this thing. I'm just a nobody. But Jesus stepped in, and I became a somebody. Hey, through Him, folks, we're everything. We need to learn to be humble unto Christ. We must also realize, here it is, that every good gift that we have ever have received and every good thing that has ever happened to us has came from the Father above. In James 1:17, the Bible says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. What they're trying to tell us here is nothing can compare to the grace and the blessing that God can and wants to bestow on your life if you'll just let Him. And when that blessing happens, you know what you do? You say, God, thank You. I'm unworthy, but I'm so thankful that You chose to bless me. And you know what you do? You say, God, what can I do? What can I do more? Now that You bless me with this, what else do You want me to do? Hey, don't be content with just that. Say, God, You've given. Give and it shall be given unto you. You know, He gives you more so you can give more. Amen? Listen, you step out by faith and God blesses you. You know, that little, it's like Brother Walter said this morning, you're not going to pray enough today for tomorrow. You understand what I'm saying? David said, restore unto me the joy of Thy salvation and renew a right spirit in me. Every single day, Lord, thank You for the blessings from yesterday. But oh God, what can I do to get another one today? What can I do by faith to please You today? And He's going to say, oh, let me tell you what you can do. And let me show you what I want to do for you. And can I tell you this? You'll never be able to outgive Him. All the things that we do, and look, our work's not in vain, I know that, but look, all the things that we do, all the good things we see, I'm going to tell you, the blessing that you get is going to outweigh everything you do every single time. Because God is greater than we are. Amen? And I'm just thankful that He loves me that much. Matthew 6 in verse number 30, go with me there. Matthew 6 in verse number 30. I want you to see that at this moment, Simon, he wasn't really worried. When he allowed God to get on his boat, he wasn't worried about what was going to happen. Lord, I just spent money to clean this boat. Listen, I come from a fishing town in Alaska, and it don't just cost money to go fishing. It costs money to pay someone to clean those boats up at the end of the day. Every single day, those deckhands, they're there till 10, 11, 12 o'clock at night, and back there at 4:30 in the morning when the sun's coming up, getting ready to go fishing at 5 o'clock again. Those boys work hard. They get paid good money. It's not cheap to maintain those things. So here's what, think about it. Lord, I just spent a whole afternoon wages on cleaning this thing, and I worked hard, and I'm tired. How am I going to make that up? Look, can I tell you that if you're living your life worried about what you're going to get, how you're going to get it, listen, if you are by faith obeying the Lord, God cannot let you down. If He does, that would make Him a liar. And folks, listen, I'm not saying, now if you're choosing not to do what God told you to do, God commands us to do some things, and if you're not doing those but expecting God to do His end, folks, it just doesn't work like that. We've got to do what God tells us to do. Look at Matthew 6, verse number 30. The Bible says, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little what, church? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. You see what he's trying to say is they're trying to figure out on their own. They're not trying to include God in anything. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of what? All these things. But here it is. Seek ye first the what, church? And His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So if we're seeking first the kingdom of God, if we're doing the things, giving our tithe, giving our offerings, giving our time, giving our abilities to the Lord, doing what God commands us to do, and praying often, I believe you ought to pray often. I don't think you should wake up in the morning and just say, Lord, thank You for the day, amen. I think you ought to pray often. I think all the problems that you worry and stress about that are on your mind all the time ought to be lifted up to heaven by faith, giving that to the Lord. And by faith, meaning when you say amen, you don't wake up still worrying about it. You have given it to the God of heaven, who's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He knows all things. He already knew about your problem before you even got proposed, or before you even knew about it. He knows what's going to happen with your problem. So by faith, give it to him. Wake up out of there and enjoy your day. This is the day that the Lord hath made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. That doesn't mean I'm only going to rejoice if things are going the way I think they ought to go. Folks, tomorrow, some of us are going to wake up. Lord willing, all of us are going to wake up, and it's going to be Monday morning, is it not? And nobody likes Monday morning because we got to go back to work. But hey, it's still the day that the Lord hath made, and you still ought to rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Number two, in Luke chapter 5, verse number 8, we see also Simon Peter's shame. He felt so unworthy for what Jesus had just done for him. He knew at that moment he was a sinful man. I think it would be good if sometimes we would look and just stand in amazement at how good God has been to us, despite the fact that we are just poor, unworthy sinners. Amen. Romans 3:23, the Bible says, "For all have sinned and come what, church? Short of the glory of God." So you know what that means? That means that in and of myself, there's nothing I have ever done, nothing I will ever do that is going to get me to heaven other than believing and receiving Jesus Christ. Nothing. I don't care how much money you got. I don't care how big a car you drive, how nice a car you drive, how big a house you got, how much money you give to the church, how many missionaries we support. I don't care if you teach Sunday school, pastor the church. It doesn't matter. A pastor can die and go to hell without Jesus Christ. Amen? Because guess what? The power is not in the messenger. The power is in the message. Amen. It don't matter who you are, where you come from, who your mom and daddy are. Listen, if you have not believed on the name of the Son of God, you're not saved. It's that simple. Sitting in your pew that you've sat in for 20 or 30 years ain't going to save anybody. That pew ain't going to be in hell or heaven. Folks, listen. Believing on Jesus Christ. Lord, I'm just a sinful man. And I need you and you alone and the sacrifice that you've given to cover my sins. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. And I'm not talking about a 1, 2, 3, repeat after me either. That's not salvation. That's not in the Bible. It's important you take somebody when you lead them to the Lord and show them in the Bible how they know that they can be saved. And not only that they are saved, but that they have eternal life. It amazes me how many Christians don't believe in eternal security. Well, your Bible teaches eternal security. Amen. It amazes me how many Christians believe that baptism, today, you still hear it. Well, tell me when you got saved. Oh, I got baptized when I was younger. You're not saved unless you believe. The Bible says believe and be baptized. Amen. But belief comes before. The belief is the part that gets you the salvation. The baptism is just an obedient step unto Christ. I hope you understand. I'm not trying to be ugly. I just don't want to be the preacher that stands up here and lies to you and blasphemes the word of God and tells you you're going to heaven because you got dunked under some water. That's a lie. It's not true. Never has been true. It's a false doctrine. Romans 5:8 says, "But God commendeth his love toward us." Here it is. "In that while we were yet," what, church? "Sinners, Christ died for us." Here's the deal. God already knew, and this closes the argument on, well, if I sin, I lose my salvation. Folks, you weren't even a thought except for in God's mind when he died. Your mom and dad weren't thoughts to anybody except for God. But you know what? He commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet, what? Sinners, Christ died for us. He knew we were going to be sinners. He knew we were going to fall short. Therefore, he knew that he was the only way that we were going to have access to God the Father. No man cometh unto the Father but by who, church? Me, Jesus. Amen. 2 Peter 3:9, the Bible says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should," what? "Perish, but that all should come to repentance." Folks, I'm so thankful God is still in the business of doing good for an old sinner like me, aren't you? Man, that's all we are. It's just old sinners. Number three, I see the amazement of those around him. Verse number 10, or look at verse 9 in Luke chapter 5. For he was astonished, and all that were what? With him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. The amazement of the ones around him. Peter's obedience. Remember, this leads all the way back to last week's message. These verses would never be here had Peter said, You know what? I'm all cleaned up for the night, Lord. There ain't no way you're getting on this boat tonight. Come back in the morning. No, no, no. These verses wouldn't even exist had Peter not said, Yes, Lord. Come on and get on my boat, please. Peter's obedience unto the Lord resulted in a blessing for him. But can I say it also resulted in a blessing in the others that were amazed at the work that Jesus had just done. Can you imagine the multitude that watched this thing happen? And they stood in utter amazement. I don't know about you, but this is why I enjoy Sunday evenings and Wednesday evenings when we say, does anyone have a praise or a testimony that they would like to share with the church? Listen, it does my heart good to know that God did something good for you. I love hearing people lift up their voices, and listen, you ought to practice that. I'll challenge you. Here's your homework. Go home this afternoon and come back tonight with something that God has done good for you or something you're thankful for and share it with somebody. Don't ever be ashamed to stand and say, hey, God did this for me, and I'm not giving anybody else credit but God. I am thankful he did this for me and my family. Folks, he loves that. You know how you feel when those little kids come up on Christmas morning and they give you that big hug and they say, thank you so much, Daddy. Thank you so much, Mom. And it makes your heart feel about that big, doesn't it? Why? Because your little ones are praising you for what you have done for them. Well, how does God feel when we as his people praise him for what he's done for us? But how does he feel when he does for us all the time and we just stand in a shame? I can't share that with anybody. Folks, how would you feel if on Christmas morning those babies open those presents and they're like, appreciate it. No excitement. No thank you. Not that you do it for that, but it sure does feel good when you know they're thankful, doesn't it? You know, God loves it when he receives praise and worship from his people. So I'll challenge you tonight. Come back tonight. We'll take some extra time. We've done it before. Listen. I love it when you lift up your voice and say thank you to God. So come back tonight with a praise that the Lord has given you. There'll be some time for you to share that. I think it would be good for us sometimes to just be obedient under the Lord and learn to be thankful. And then those around us will see the blessings that the Lord has bestowed upon us. You know, here's how you know that's contagious. You know, you ask, does anyone have something they're thankful for? And it's kind of like a weird, awkward silence for a minute, right? Then all of a sudden one hand goes up. Usually it's a young person, and they're like, oh, I'm thankful that we're in church, something like that. And then all of a sudden, they're like, everyone's like, well, if they can say it, I guess I can do it. And then pretty soon, you got five or six hands going up. Look, it's contagious. Is it not? Being thankful is a contagious thing. But the other side of that is, you know, when we choose not to be thankful and we choose not to rejoice that God has done this and we just choose to have a sour spirit, can I say, just as contagious as that thankful spirit is, that sour spirit is contagious also. You know what the Bible says? A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Just a little bit. Imagine baking a big fresh apple pie and putting one rotten apple in there. It's going to ruin the whole thing, isn't it? Why? Because something is in there that should not be. Folks, listen. You should never think of yourself so highly that you cannot give thanks and praise unto the God of heaven. God deserves it. We never deserved what he gave us. And the least we can do is just say, God, thank you. And you know, look around the next time you're giving your testimony and people are paying attention and listening and then a smile comes across their face. And how about this? We give the prayer request sometimes. And I really love it when somebody gives a very specific prayer request and then the next week they give a praise as to the answered prayer. And everyone's like, whoa, 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 I prayed for that this week. That's good stuff. God must have been listening. But how will we ever know if we're too ashamed to share? Amen? Be thankful for what God has done. Number 4, Jesus' response to Simon He told Simon, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." As important as it was for Jesus to be on the boat to catch fish that day, folks, that is how important it is for us if we want to see men saved. We've got to let Jesus be first and foremost the captain of everything that we do. You know, we can't go out here and knock on doors and not ask the Lord to bless that. We just go out there, "I'm just doing my duty. Want to come to church tomorrow?" No, no, no. Hey, I've been there, done that out of duty. But I'll tell you what makes it so much better. When I spend time in advance praying that God will prepare the hearts. And listen, you're going to get rejected. Your people are going to say no. People are going to say yes. And listen, even if you just get one, hey, there's one right over there. Very first door we knocked on in town is already producing fruit in our church. Folks, it still works. But you know what we do? We pray, "God, send us to the doors you want us to knock on. But don't just send us to the door. Prepare the heart on the other side of the door." And folks, listen, just be obedient. And when God's with you, hey, things work. Fish get caught. Men get caught. And they'll come and they'll hear the gospel and you'll see some saved and we'll be able to baptize them and they'll grow up in our junior church programs and you never know, they'll grow up someday. And instead of those young ladies and those young men growing up without the Lord, now they'll realize the importance of marrying right. And they'll marry a good young man and a good young lady. And they'll raise their children in this church, maybe, Lord willing. You never know. But I can tell you this. The foundation had to start somewhere. It starts with getting Jesus on your boat. You got to have Jesus on board. Everything we do must be in the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus still desires to see men saved everywhere. And with his help and our testimonies, the Holy Spirit will convict a sinner unto salvation. Don't ever misinterpret the scripture either. But, you know, I've heard people say, and I don't know if it's because they're just confused or they just really don't know. They'll say, "Well, someone will get saved," and they'll say, "Well, you saved me." No, no, no. There's nothing I can do to save you. I can preach till I'm blue in the face. But until the Holy Ghost is ready to convict you unto salvation, at that moment, your opportunity has been given you. Now, you may have more opportunities. Lord spared me for 2.5 years at least, while I knew that I was going to die and go to hell. Now, he doesn't promise everybody that. There may be some that has only been enlightened once, had their opportunity, but you know what God said? He said he would lighten every man. He never said how many times. Folks, if you're here today and God has lightened you and shown you your need for salvation, I will challenge you this morning. Do we have a piano player? Could you? Oh, there's Miss Tony right there. Go ahead. Yes. Praise the Lord. Miss Tony's going to come to the piano and play a hymn of invitation this morning. Listen, if you've been challenged this morning as she's playing, I'm going to go read through this last point really quick. In verse number 11... as the piano plays, I want you to start thinking about what God's done for you. I want you to think about if there's ever been a time in your life where you're sitting there and you're mending your nets, you're cleaning up, everything's been going good, you're tired, and along comes Jesus and he said, "Hey, I wonder if you'll let me on your boat today." And you say, "Yes, Lord, I'll let you on my boat," and a miracle happens. But what do you do after that miracle happens? Do you go right back to your old lifestyle and say, "You know what, God did something good for me, but I'm thankful for it, but it wasn't important enough for me to stay. It wasn't important enough for me to not go back and forsake the things of the world." Look at verse number 11. The Bible says, "And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him." Folks, listen, heads bowed, eyes closed this morning. Can I say, if we're going to be true followers of Jesus Christ, there's got to come a time in your life where you're going to have a forsaking time. There's going to have to be some things in your life that God is just going to have to say, "Look, do you know, son, you know, young lady, you know, lady, this is wrong. You need to get this out of your life." Folks, listen, those disciples, when they went out there, they were fishermen of fish. But immediately when they came back, God had shown them what he really wanted them to do in life. And they forsook all and became fishers of men. And folks, they reached a lot of men and women in their time on earth. I wonder how many in here today would say, "Brother Drew, there's some things in my life that I could stand to forsake if I'm going to get on board with Jesus. Would you just raise your hand and let me pray for you this morning? There's some things that I need to forsake. There's one hand, there's two hands, three hands. Listen, hey guys, listen, the altar's right here. You know how you forsake that? You start by humbling yourself and asking God to help you with that situation. The altar's open this morning. I wonder this morning if you'll come. I wonder if there'll be someone here that would say, Brother Drew, I don't know if I'm saved or not, but I sure would like to know. I don't know if I died today, if heaven would be my home. Is there someone in here like that? I'm not going to call you out. I just want to pray for you. Brother Drew, I want to know that I know that I know that I'm saved. Is there anyone here like that? Anyone? Okay, good. I wonder how many would say, Brother Drew, listen, I know I'm saved, but I'm going to commit to this day forward. I'm going to commit, and I'm going to do everything in God's power to work through me. I'm going to forsake this world, and I'm going to follow Jesus Christ. Would there be someone here that would just say, you know what, Brother Drew, that's me. I think I want to get on God's boat and let God on my boat and just forsake it and move on for the cause of Christ. Amen. What page is that, Miss Tony? 342. Hymn number 342. Hymn number 342. I gave my life for thee. Can we... Let's sing hymn number 342. How does that get this down? Is that the wrong page? Oh, that's the wrong page. I'm in the wrong page. I'm sorry.
It's in the red book.
Oh, the red book. That's okay. She pulled a red book on us. I knew the song, but I didn't know the words. Amen. I gave my all. All right, let's sing verse number one. I gave my life for thee. I gave my life for thee, my precious blood I shed, that thou might ransom be and quicken from the dead. Listen, church. I gave my life for thee. What hast thou given for me? I gave my life for thee. What hast thou given for me? Amen. Thank you, Miss Tony. Thank you, church, for being attentive this morning. Thank you for coming to church. I appreciate people that want to come to church on Sunday mornings. Amen. I challenge you to come back tonight with something you are thankful for. You will have an opportunity to serve or share that with the church. This time, we're going to be dismissed, but don't forget, just a couple minutes. Come back in here if you're a member at 12 o'clock. It's 11:56, right? Yes, sir? All right, let's do it right now. Here's